FSN Radio.
It's all about what's next.
Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports.
The Financial Survival Network.
It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to and perhaps even watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Hey, we have an amazing guest for you today. Look, COVID has hit every business really hard. Some businesses have bounced back better than others. If you're Walmart, if you're Costco, if you're Target, then business has never been better. But if you're running a little restaurant in Manhattan, in Midtown Manhattan, or in some other place where they just love to lock you down, then not so much. And the key is, it might well be that you have to shut your doors and you have to move on. You got to know when to hold and when to fold. I'd like to know how many of you are in that situation, and you should send me an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, right now we got somebody who is a turnaround specialist, and he can help you make that decision. His name is John Paul Mendocha, and he's been with us before. John, it's great to have you back on the show. So when do you know when to hold and when to fold?
Well, that is, of course, the negative $64,000 question. I think the way to really know if you should hold or fold in any business circumstance is by getting very serious about how much business you have to do to stay afloat. And what happens is that most of the time, people do not take action soon enough. They hope it's going to work out. They have ambitions of that, and they do not move quickly enough. So I think when you are, if you're down to that last, nickel, that last centavo, that last whatever, you're probably too late. You've already gone past that point of no return. But before you get there, you got to get lean and you got to get serious. But here's the key. The key is that you have to get your head on straight. You're going to work 2 to 4 times harder for half the money. Just get over that. Okay. Anytime you say, geez, this isn't like it was in 18 or 15 or whenever you had your good year, forget all of that. You've got to be like the Catholic mother who just gave birth to the 5th child, tears streaming down her face. Husband walks up, says, I've just seen the baby. It's beautiful. And she says, well, let's go try for the next one. Okay. That's what you have to be as an entrepreneur. You have to put all that pain behind you and say, I'm going to do this. Now, by the way, if you can't in your heart of hearts say that, get out of that burning building. Get out.
And it's funny. You remind me of a story, something that happened in my own life. My brother and I were partners in a legal printing company. It was always countercyclical. We made some bad mistakes business-wise, and really we were heading down. And I looked at it and I called up my brother. We were in separate offices. I managed our main sales office. He was in the printing plant. And I said, Phil, if we don't cut $250,000 in costs right now, we're dead. We might as well close our doors. So we looked at every expense in our P&L. We basically broke a lease because we figured we're better off breaking this lease and settling with them later. It was killing us. I mean, we didn't want to go bankrupt, but we were prepared to. So we broke this lease. Then we replaced our accountants who were charging like a Wall Street law firm, literally $70,000-$80,000 a year.
Wow.
I mean, it was ridiculous for a company bringing in a couple million bucks a year. That was just outrageous. And they weren't good. Then what else did we look at? We literally looked at everything. I think we even got rid of our water fountain for a while. That's how bad it was. Everything that we could possibly, we laid off 2 or 3 people. And actually, what we came up with, John, we actually knocked off $350,000 from our bottom line. We moved offices almost from the day we moved offices. It almost made me believe that our old office, the feng shui, was bad. We were on the back of the dragon. We got off the back of the dragon. We moved. And from that day on, business took off. Also managed to hire a couple of really great salespeople. And sales will cure a lot of problems, and lack of sales will expose a lot of problems. My point being that it's kind of the Socratic method here. The answer lies within, right?
It very much does lie within. And when I go and I do an intervention, if I'm going to do a turnaround, the first thing I do is get kind of a lay of the land of my client. And I find what I call the Swedish meatball guy. And I fire him first. And the Swedish meatball guy is that everybody says, I hope you're going to be here, John, for Thursday, because Phil brings in his slow cooker and he makes these amazing Swedish meatballs. Now, this is Tuesday and we're already anticipating lunch on Thursday. And we just start talking and I meet Phil. And the first thing Phil says, you're going to be here on Thursday. I'm going to bring in some more meatballs. And I go to my client at dinner and I say, we're shooting Phil tomorrow. There's not going to be any more meatballs. And pisses off the staff to no extent. But I say, listen, they're dominated. They're spending their time diffused. They're not focused. They're not thinking about the business. We're in a serious problem. This is just not the way that you get serious about life. You can have whatever you want down the road, but in the middle of a crisis like we are in now, you have to get very focused. You have to get rid of extraneous things. If you want a piece of video to go watch a piece of video that shows the U.S. Navy pushing perfectly good helicopters into the South China Sea in 1975 because there wasn't enough room on the carrier deck, okay? You do that because that's the sunk cost fallacy at work. Everything's got to go. Everything has to be willing to be pushed overboard. And you just have to be able to do it. Because if you do, you're going to end up like what you and your brother did, which is you're going to end up with, you know, a better circumstance, a better situation. And those who make it through to the other side with you are never again going to be complacent the way they would have been otherwise.
It's so true. And periodically, you need to do this bloodletting anyway. You need to examine every single cost. Every company should do it. You know, we didn't have a corporate jet, unfortunately, but if we had, we would have gotten rid of it. But from this, John, I found that, and you probably have experienced the same thing, you can walk into any company, anywhere, it doesn't matter what they're selling, and probably within 15 minutes of watching the place, you know exactly what's wrong with it. It won't be a mystery, because it's going to be a people problem. And it's going to be a people problem that manifests itself into costs, unnecessary costs, bad markets, unprofitable markets, bad production, bad quality. The problems, I guess, what I'm saying, are universal, aren't they?
They're universal, and I would agree with that. However, they're like a Rubik's Cube. You know, there's so many different combinations of these things. And that's why if you go in there and you look at it, you have to say, okay, what are we going to try to fix first? And what I always say is, look, can we cut costs by 10%? Can we raise prices by 15%? Can we go back to everybody we're doing business with and get another order out of them or something out of them? And if we could do those three things in a short period of time, we've got a chance of moving this thing along. On top of which, if you want to know the real shortcut, especially since I come in on the sales, marketing, advertising, promotion side, is you fire the entire sales force. You just fire them all. The good ones, the bad ones, you just fire them all, which of course, I have had few clients who would do it. Every client who let me do that actually was very happy on the other side, because here's the thing. If you fire everybody, then there's no favoritism. Now, does that mean that about 20, 30, 40% of the really good ones come back? Absolutely, because they're not going to take no for an answer. Anybody who says, okay, I guess I saw it coming, I'm moving on, that's not the person we want. The person I want is this guy, Jerry, force of nature, fired him. And Jerry said, wait a second, I don't think you should fire me. I need 15 minutes of your time to convince you that I'm the right guy. I said, Jerry, I'm going to be busy for the next 4 hours. Can you stick around? He says, stick around. I'm going to be honing what I'm going to sell you in that 15 minutes. Well, I didn't have anything to do for the next 4 hours. What I wanted to do is see what Jerry would do. Not only did he wait, but he gave me a dynamite presentation. And of course, we kept him. He ended up being fantastic. But why was that? Because he understood the severity of the situation. He wasn't going to take no for an answer. And these times, you have to be very blunt with people about what is going on in your business and make sure you don't want to sound desperate, but you want them to do business with you now. Your survival is based upon now, not some mythical time out in the future.
Yeah, and that is a great point. You know, one thing I notice so many companies look at when they have a marketing problem, when they talk about sales, it could be they have a bad sales force. But oftentimes, if especially with online businesses, their branding sucks. They don't know how to brand. They don't know how to express benefits. You sell benefits. You don't sell features. I saw this. I was consulting with an online business, a financial newsletter, been around for 20 years. And first thing I said is, like, let's go back to all the people you lost and offer them a $1 special. You know, right? $1 special. Come back. We miss you. And that was effective. But then it was, the system was way too complicated. The average person could not figure out how to do it. And the average person really didn't want to know how to do it. They wanted keys to the mansion given to them, which he was perfectly able to do. And there was a whole bunch of things that his branding was just horrid. And it wasn't like his colors on his website were bad, John. It was the entire concept was poorly conceived and poorly expressed. And, you know, you couldn't get a flyer written because every little speck of grammar had to be absolutely perfect. Whereas, you know, from your experience, lots of times the best ads are the least grammatical. It's like, don't try to impose grammar on a header here, on a headline. But, you know, you get these people who think they know what they know. What did Mark Twain say? It's not what you don't know that's going to get you. It's what you think you know that's false. That's going to do you in. That's wrong. You see that so many times. But obviously, for a turnaround, the first thing you need to have is someone who is open, has an open mind, and understands the need to change, right?
If you're not willing to step up and do whatever is necessary to make this work, then in all likelihood, you're not going to survive. You're absolutely right about the grammar police, the perfection police, the controlling freaky people, is that those people are going to kill you, because you're absolutely right. In fact, there's this great ad from years ago, and the ad was for a spell checker. And it was in the Wall Street Journal. A guy named Joe Sugarman wrote the ad. I've met Joe and know Joe. And what it said is that there are 40 mistakes in this ad, spelling errors. And if each one that you circle, you get $1 off. Now, he was selling it for $100. So you could get $40 off. And I looked at him and I said, how many did you get on a weekly basis where they found all 40 errors? And he goes, it was pretty amazing. Now, he made dough at $60 a unit, right? But as I pointed out to him, and he wholeheartedly agreed, why does anybody need a spell checker if you can find all the mistakes by hand? But of course, that just goes to the fact of that those who are really obsessed with that are going to be able to find it anyway. Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. They'll say they have a marketing problem and they can't get a message out. They say that they have, I ran into this client who was struggling to get an email out. Well, you know, my email was simply very quick, very to the point, and you know, his people hated it. Well, it worked because we actually got it out. Getting something done is always better than getting something perfect done tomorrow. Getting it done today is so critical.
Hey, I had it to the point where I had like 9 p.m. without periods, and I said Eastern time. And well, you have to have the periods, and it's, you just say Eastern. I'm like, man, okay, you spend your life doing this. It was the most frustrating gig that I ever did. And I didn't want it. It was a friend who was basically asking me to help him out. But, you know, this is a case of one of those no good deed goes unpunished. I charged him. I wasn't doing it for nothing because my time is valuable. But I charged him way less than I would really charge somebody to go from top to bottom to really redo everything, you know?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Today's show is brought to you by GR Silver Mining. Ticker symbol TSX, GRSL, OTC, GRSLF, and their website at grsilvermining.com. The company is extremely well capitalized, currently has a resource of 40 million ounces of silver, and is looking to triple that number in just the next year alone. Its management team is first rate, headed up by Marcio Fonseca, a geologist with vast experience in mining operations and the financial sector as well. With all this going for it, and with silver trading over $25 the ounce, there's no telling how high GR Silver Mining will go. So go to grsilvermining.com to stay up to date on the latest developments and get on their notification list today.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Oh, I absolutely agree that you have to do that. And the frustrating part about it is that if people are not willing to admit to the situation that they're in the middle of, then they are not going to be successful. They're not going to be a candidate for doing turnarounds. When people ask me, well, John, does that mean of the turnarounds you've done, all of them have worked? And I say, well, you know, first off, the client usually they're the guys standing on their own air hose. You know, they can't get any oxygen and they're just standing on it. And they're just killing themselves. I mean, I had a guy who had not only one building, he had two buildings. And I said, well, what if we rent these buildings out to somebody else? And then we go to a more virtual mechanism, right? Which is what we talk about is happening today. And he said, yeah, but I've got a flag out front. I've got a flag. Now, I mean, let's say you're going to go down the drain because you had somebody make a flag with your logo. So every day when you drive up, you can sit there and look and see your flag. Priorities were not straight. And I have no idea what eventually happened because, you know, once the gig ends, it ends. You know, people will say to me, well, John, do you ever feel like going back and saying, I told you so? I said, there's no money in it. You know, why would I go back and do that? I mean, I know they're going to hit the reef because they're not willing to accept that. But you know, everyone who's out there, if you really want to test and see how well you're going to do, you know, you just alluded to it just a few seconds ago, Carrie, which is go back to all of your customers and tell them that you're still here because of COVID. You know, the guys who fix my cars, I've got Honda and an Acura, and I drive up and I said, hey, are you guys open? And they said, oh yeah, we've been open. And I said, well, you know, I didn't know. Of course, I'm in a place where we had some lockdowns. And they said, oh yeah, we've been open because we're a crucial business. And I said, well, how would anybody know? And they said, well, we've been doing this for like 22 years. And here's what we do. We arrive between 7 and 7:30 every morning and we open up the roll-up doors and then people show up. Now, Carrie, I don't want you stealing this marketing plan because you know this is what these guys were doing. And I'm looking at them like, and you have no list that you're ever going to send anybody to. And they said, no, we're hoping that the government's going to lend us some money and we're going to make it through. They had to lay off their whole staff. And, you know, you just sit there and you just shake your head and you go, you know, you have to communicate with customers, which is the bottom line, communication.
Yeah, now it's easier to do that than ever before. You know, I've got tens of thousands of people on my mailing list who've subscribed to our free newsletter, which you can do. Just go over to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. But hey, we stay in touch. We have a dialogue. We're advising them. I'm not looking to sell them anything. All I'm looking to do is to give you advice and to give you my take on what exactly is happening now in the real world. So, you know, it's so interesting. People get into businesses. Oftentimes they fall in love with the idea of starting a business, John, rather than the actual nitty-gritty, the hard work that's required to actually make the thing work. So they started off on the wrong foot right away. And you mentioned this, that most businesses fail within 5 minutes. It just takes them 3 years to figure it out.
Absolutely correct. And I was just talking to a person who could potentially use my services. And she said what so many people said, I kind of fell into this business. So she's an accidental tourist. She doesn't exactly know why she's there. Her head is filled with all of the, I can't do this and I can't do that. And I won't do this and I won't do that. And all of that kind of crazy. And she's at that 3 to 5 year window. and she's working really hard. And she says, well, all I really need is leads. If I had leads, my whole life would be taken care of. And I said, okay, so let me wave the magic wand. I double the number of leads. How do you double your capacity? Well, then I would go out and look for people. Then I would, no, you're out of business by then, because you can't build capacity. You know, you can't build the ship while you're sailing to the destination. And many people get into business, and you're right, they love the idea of the business. They get a lot of confirmation from people that this is going to be a great idea. And yet they don't understand all the work that's going to go into running the business. I say to people all the time, if you want to go really learn how to make your business sing and come together and do that, you know, go watch successful businesses, McDonald's, Starbucks. I mean, you know, go hang out. I mean, I'm not talking about go, you know, surfing the web and all that, but watch all the little things that they do. And what you'll do is you'll see a personification of people who have figured out the small things that you have to do. You know, the Japanese call it Kaizen. And Kaizen means that we're making continuous improvement. I have experience with hundreds of businesses, thousands, tens of now over 10,000 people I've worked with in a coaching or in presenting to them. And it is so hard for us to get our head wrapped around, get one half of 1% improvement today and then repeat it tomorrow and the next day and the next day, but work really hard at it. That doesn't mean that you sit down and in 10 minutes you're done. Really work hard at it. And then you'll find out what the Japanese discovered, which is they build extraordinarily high quality products, and they figured out how to do it because they didn't try to get the big moonshot. You know, they weren't shooting for the moon. They were, how do we make this one little piece significantly better?
And I tell this to people, think every day you wake up and you go to the office, what are three things you can do to make things better, to get more sales, to cut costs, whatever it might be. Come up with three things every single day. You know, when I tell people they're thinking of starting a business, I always dissuade them. I always say, not to go into business, which many people shouldn't, but the point is that it's better to find a business that's breaking even or making a marginal profit, where you can just walk in there and you have something to build on, because people don't even understand, hey, you're going to have to go get a copy of QuickBooks. You're going to have to go get stationery printed, although we don't use it like we once did, but you're going to have to get stuff printed up. You're going to have to create systems for everything. To walk into a business, even if it's not functioning right or optimally, but just to be able to have that as a starting point to build on, assuming it's not the Titanic that's about to sink. I mean, you think about it, it just makes so much more sense. And you don't have to worry about SBA loans usually or anything else, because these marginally profitable businesses, the owners will generally finance you with a small down payment anyway, if they believe that that you're going to be able to pay them back.
You said a mouthful there. The mistake that people do all the time is they look at somebody and they say, oh, I think I can do that better. The question is, can you do it better, as you just described, inside of that business, or going out and doing it a different way? Probably one of the biggest illnesses, and I know that there's no vaccine for this, is people who say, I want to be a contrarian. I want to do it differently than anybody else is doing it. Now, that sounds good. And maybe intellectually you can think about being different, and I'm all for that. But you have to be careful what you're a contrarian at. You have to be a contrarian. And what is that? So that's usually somebody who's upset with something versus understanding what customers will pay for. Customers want to believe that you're going to deliver value, and that value is going to satisfy something, and that value means something. Just because you walked out and said, oh, I didn't like the way they did it, I'm going to go invent a different way to do it. Okay, that may not be enough to start a business. And if in fact you're going to go take over a business, this is, I have a airplane story. I've lived on airplanes except this year, but I've lived on airplanes. And I'm flying back from Denver to Southern California where I live. And I'm sitting next to this couple, and they're ebullient. I mean, they are ecstatic. They are now in the process of going out and hawking their house and they're going to buy a coffee shop in Breckenridge, Colorado. And they start talking to me, and I know, Carrie, you're going to find this hard to believe, but I stick up conversations all the time with people. I mean, it's, you know, sometimes I break out of my shell and I say, tell me about this. And they start telling me, and I say, how far is the coffee shop you're buying away from the Starbucks? And they said, oh, it's about 3 blocks away. I said, okay. And what's the parking situation for you versus Starbucks? Oh, Starbucks has this nice parking lot. You know, this has got not as much parking. I said, okay. I said, how much time have you spent working in a coffee shop? How about none? I said, here, I'm going to save you guys. How much you got to go out and take out of your house? Oh, $850,000. I'll give you the best advice you're ever going to get. Go while you still have, because they both had day jobs, go work at a Starbucks, two different Starbucks. If you show up 1 month in a row of shifts, you're going to be made a manager or a head cashier or something, because Starbucks is going to go, wow, this person keeps showing up. Amazing. I said, learn what Starbucks does. And now, and she goes, well, no, I don't think I want to go through that. I said, then I predict disaster, because you don't know what you don't know. And you don't know what Starbucks knows. And Starbucks knows how to take coffee, ridiculous item, and sell it for as much as they sell liquor in a strip club. And this has no alcohol and no naked women. And they're selling this stuff. So I think they know something about coffee. Now, by the time we get to our destination, she's crying, he's upset, and they walk off grumbling, and I never hear a word from them again. But what I did was stop them from being just insane and blowing $850,000. Oh, and by the way, they've never lived in Breckenridge, and they've never lived in a mountain community, and.
Yeah. Well, you know what happens when you're in high altitudes, coffee doesn't get as hot. I can't stand drinking coffee when I'm in Vail or Beaver Creek, because it's like lukewarm to me. And to get it, I don't know how you get it that hot. Well, I think we've gone over a lot. I know you're going to want to reach out to John, find out what he can do for you. You probably want to check out his books. John, what is the best way to connect with you? How can you gain the benefit of John Paul Mendoza's wisdom?
You can go to positiontowinbook.com, positiontowinbook.com. You can also go to Amazon and pick up my books. You can get for this day and age, you can get Remote Work for a Better World, of which I talk about the whole thing about how to do remote work. I've been doing that for a long time. Also, you can pick up my book, my work of love that took me 30 years to get done, which is Most Businesses Fail in the First 5 Minutes. It just takes you 3 to 5 years to realize it, Positioned to Win. And you can go check it out there. What I would say to every single person is that if you do not know the position that you occupy in your customer's mind, and you don't know what that position is, you are going to always be destined to fail eventually, because people have to have you in their mind. You have to live in their head rent-free. And the reason why that's so important, the reason why Carrie was talking about branding, is that in my opinion, you can't have branding until you have a position. Once you have a position, you can build a brand. But most people don't have either. And that's a double loss. So that's the quickest way to get a hold of me, is go to positiontowinbook.com.
Excellent. And there's a link to it in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter. Send us emails, what you think about this. Will it make an impact in your business? The email address, kl@carrielutz.com. John, been a total pleasure. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you, Carrie. Appreciate it.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.